Good morning, lovely people. Good morning to folks here. If you are watching the replay, sending extra love to you. It's really nice to be with you. Let's get here. Let's get comfortable. So just want to invite you to just feel your feet on the ground. Feel the earth holding you. You may even want to imagine that you have roots growing out of your feet, invisible roots that grow down into the earth and keep you upright, keep you connected to everything that sustains you. Just imagine those roots coming back up into your feet, drawing up that energy from the earth. And just feel your feet on that ground. Let that energy travel up your body, drawing it up from Mama Gaia, right up your legs and into your seat. Just feel your butt on the chair. Let your belly soften. And draw that energy right up your back, into your shoulder blades. You may want to give them a little stretch and soften them. And allow that energy to travel up through your neck and over your head. If you feel you want to move your neck and your head and just stretch those parts of your body, release any tension or holding. Let your jaw soften. Come down your arms. And into your chest, your throat, down into your heart, into your solar plexus. And just offer yourself a little thanks for being here, taking the time to hang out. Thank your healthy self for being here. Offer a little hug to your protector. And just draw that energy back down front of your body, down your legs and into your feet. And just know you've always got roots connecting you to the earth that grow out of your feet. Keep you grounded, keep you connected. Can always call on that energy when you need it. So when you're ready, just give your toes a little wiggle. And come back to the room. Nice. Nice work. It's nice to get here properly, right? I think we... I don't know about you guys. I always feel like if I didn't purposefully, intentionally kind of create a little bit of stillness and connection, it wouldn't happen. Like life does not want us to be connected to anything. Our life wants us to just keep moving. Keep moving. Don't feel, don't think too hard. Don't question too much. certainly don't sit in the seat of your own power. Don't draw up that power from the earth and feel connected to yourself. Everything good comes from stillness. I so believe that. Yeah. When you can pause and take in what's happening really sit with what am I feeling? What do I need right now? What's the message of this situation? How does this make sense to me? It's like that sacred pause to just be with what is, and then decide, does this emotion need expression? Do I actually need to do something? Or can I sit with it? And maybe now's not the time. But that point of that still point is where we kind of reconnect to ourselves. Take a breath. Let our healthy self kind of reconstitute itself. Particularly if there's a lot of emotion around and we forget, I can actually take a moment here. I don't have to feel like my emotions are happening to me all the time. I was in teaching class yesterday of coaches and who are learning the self-belief coaching methodology. And we spent a lot of time talking about our emotions and how we're not, most of us, particularly those of us in our generation who kind of grew up in the 70s and 80s, we even the 60s, we weren't really encouraged to have any emotions, especially ones that might be big or inconvenient to other people, right? So naturally, we learn from a really young age, if I'm going to fit in with this family, there isn't room for me to feel very much. So we kind of cut ourselves off from that emotional intelligence. And I know that was certainly true for me. And I think what I've realized over the years of actually practicing feeling my emotions, using that feeling cycle, is that I'm actually really sensitive to emotions. So I think I sort of took it as permission to kind of not be, you know, because it was kind of scary as a little kid to realize, wow, I feel stuff a lot. That was kind of a lot to be with for me, let alone other people. So I think I took people saying, you're too much, you know, stop crying now, you're fine, kind of dismissing those emotions or trying to dampen them down. It was almost like a relief that I could just shut that off. And my friend Helen and I often talk about how it's hard work to feel things. And, you know, you end up kind of feeling like, whoa, the world is quite hard to be in when you feel stuff. But I think it just means you're paying attention. And I like to think about emotions as kind of vibrations of different intensity, different colors, different flavors. And Gloria Wilcox's feelings wheel that we talk about in the start of the program, it's been just so helpful to me to just realize, there's some sensations going on in my body. Do I recognize that as an emotion? Can I name it? Can I kind of be with it? And what is it telling me? You know, I'll ask, you know, is there a message from this emotion? And if that's obvious to me, it's like, what do I need right now? You know, so either is there a message? Is there something this is offering me? Or if it's kind of obvious, yeah, I'm feeling this rage because blah happened, then it's like, okay, what do I need right now? And those two questions have sort of helped me to navigate the world of emotions and to get into a place where I'm not saying I'm great at it, but I can kind of be with most feelings. Most emotions, I'm like, okay, even the really tricky ones, you know, the sad and the mad and the judgy and the petty and the things that I wish I didn't feel, but I just do because I'm a human. It's like, okay, I can recognize that something's happening here and it's okay for me to feel it. And I think our fear of our feelings can be so much greater than the reality of feeling them. And once you get into that practice, that habit of just, okay, what is the sensation? Can I name it as an emotion? What's the message from it? What do I need right now? You witness it pass. You realize that all emotion is transient. It's all temporary. Everything, you know, which is a fantastic metaphor for life, right? Because everything is temporary. But it's such a gift to just allow yourself to feel stuff. So I think that recognition that, oh, it's all temporary, all these feelings are temporary, can be a huge liberator. It's like, even if I'm, you know, I have this risk that I'm going to be rejected and that's going to feel embarrassing and hurtful and I'm going to feel sad. Okay, even if that risk happens, and we don't know if it will because you haven't done the thing yet, right? It's just an anticipated risk. But even if it does happen, can I be with that sadness, that hurt, that embarrassment? Can I just sit with that, knowing that it's not going to be here forever? It's going to pass. Even if it comes in some waves, returns maybe a few times, it will all pass. There's such a gift in that. And the other gift is, the more we can sit with, you know, the trickier emotions, the more we just get that emotional vocabulary more developed, the more we can feel all the good shit too, right? Joy becomes more possible. Hope, excitement, and contentment. These are all things that become available to us when we expand our emotional vocabulary. And it's literally just what we did. We just sit and we just kind of be in stillness. Maybe imagine some energy traveling up and around your body. It takes a couple of minutes and then you're grounded. It's like, okay, what's happening now? What do I want to do now? And you're back in that still point. Homeostasis, where your body's always trying to bring you back to. That's your natural state where your healthy adult self lives. That resourced, rested, regulated self. That's the one we want to be making decisions with. Yeah. So, yeah. So we have a small group today. It is our, I think it's half term, or it may even be summer break here in the UK. You may have started that as well in the States. So for all of the Brits who are perhaps wrangling small humans right now, we're sending lots of love. And yeah, you've only got 6 weeks to keep them entertained. That too will pass. yeah. So folks who are here, what are you bringing today? Has anyone got anything they want to share or talk about? Where's self-doubt showing up? What wins have you got? How can we use this hour to support you? Mary, hi, love.
I just want to say you look positively glowing this morning. I mean, just, I don't know, just there's just a beautiful light coming from you. Your face looks so relaxed and so, I don't know, you just look beautiful. And always, you always look beautiful to me. But this morning, there's just this light coming from you that I am just absorbing and so happy to be in.
Oh, Mary, gosh, you make me tear up. That is the kindest thing for you to say. Thank you. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good these days. Yeah, I can heartily attest to lifting heavy things as a really positive outlook for any menopausal rage any of us may be feeling right now. Yeah, it's certainly helping me. So yeah, and I've got if it helps to share, I mean, some things I'm doing right now is I'm really prioritizing my sleep. I'm spending a lot of time offline in my real life. I'm trying to eat protein with every meal and lots of veg, staying hydrated. I'm lifting stuff a couple of times a week, stretching every day. Yes, meditating. Self-care is a full-time job, I think, right? Like, it really is. Yeah. But I think if you can find even just a bit of time to do it imperfectly, and goodness knows that's my approach, right? Is very, very imperfect. That all those things seem to be helping. I've actually got a podcast coming out, I think tomorrow, actually. Kay, who does all of that, is sorting it out. And it's, yeah, just talking about, like, this is not the year I ordered. This is not the year I ordered. And kind of how I'm navigating that. Like, it's so many changes are going on, like, internally and externally. And it's kind of a bit overwhelming at times. But it also feels like, okay, well, I'm along for the ride. So, yeah, yeah. And this work is, you know, like I always say, this work, these tools, these approaches, this is how I live. It's not just like a once and done. I did a belief buster last night, which was, you know, super helpful. It's like, oh, yep, cool. I can see what I'm doing here and what might need to change here. And it's, yeah, it's so good. So good. So I'm doing everything you guys are doing, you know? Yeah. Thank you, Mary. You're just so kind. Yeah, love it. And is there anything we can help you with? What's going on for you? Tell us about Mary's world.
So I was at my mother's house for the last, not staying there, but I was at her home the last 2 days. She's moving into assisted living today.
Wow.
She doesn't somehow throw a wrench in the works, which she's quite good at. So I was there ostensibly to help pack up her house. And she's downsizing from a two-story condominium to 400 square feet. Huge, huge change. And she wanted me there, but she didn't want me to pack anything.
Yeah.
So I have a very difficult relationship with my mother. It's not close. It's not, I've spent most of my life avoiding her since I left home for college. And so yesterday I was in my pack mode, or the last 2 days, and lots of feelings and lots of avoiding feelings and not having the big conversations because she didn't want to have them. And, but also a real sense of what do I need to stay sane for these 48 hours? Because usually if I got into her sphere of influence or gravitational force, I went so far away from center. I was immediately 5 years old, tap dancing as hard as I could to get her love and attention. And, you know, I'm just getting too old to tap dance apparently, or anyway. So, no, but really self-belief school has helped me realize, okay, when I get into that gravitational force, what do I need before I get in there? What is it that I need? What do I want to come away with in terms of my behavior? And, you know, it was an imperfect experience, but it was so different than even the one I had with her 2 months ago. So I'm just so grateful this morning to be back in my own space with just me and the cat, nobody else. And grateful that I'm making different choices than I did a year ago. And so grateful for all the growth I've experienced in this last year being part of self-belief school. And realizing that I could be present to her fear, which I think was what was driving a lot, and her grief and her transition, her unwanted transition, grief at losing so many things she just couldn't physically bring with her. Losing the fact that she won't have access to an oven. You know, there won't be any cooking. She can have a microwave and a toaster. That's it. Cooking is important to her. Food is important to her. Yeah, I could be with that sense of grief and transition and loss and fear, not take it on, know I'm better resourced to deal with those same emotions in my own life. And it, so mainly just like waves of gratitude for this last year in Self Belief School. Just here's a very small example. Yesterday morning, got up, was at the hotel. Not a fan of hotel coffee. Way too weak for me. Usually I just be like, okay, there's my one coffee for the day. Meh. And this time I said, I'm going to go Google coffee. I'm going to go get it. I'm going to spend the extra money and I'm going to have an experience. And I did. It was so much fun. First of all, the place is called Rebel Coffee. Had to go there. And run by women. I mean, it was just like off the charts fun. And it's that self-belief school. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you.
Oh, I love the story. I mean, how much do you love the story, folks? This is like, yeah. And what, so a couple of things I really want to affirm, Mary. One is lots of people are in self-belief school. Not everyone comes to the classes. It, sometimes that's just not possible. Not everyone practices this stuff. Not everyone feels ready or able to kind of practice the exercises, try them out in life. What you're sharing, I feel, is such a testament to your own courage and your own like willingness to do the hard shit of saying, okay, well, something has to shift because this is not feeling great, right? And what I love is that you're now, all of those seeds you planted and all the shit you had to pile on top, right? It's like it's fruiting now for you, right? That's what I'm seeing. And I really love what you said about, you know, before you saw your mum, you did that really beautiful sovereign work of setting an intention. What do I need? Who do I want to be? What's the good outcome here? Which is, I wonder what that, if that was a kind of conscious thing to do that, and what was that like sort of during and after your meet up with your mom?
So yes, it was conscious because in the past, my conscious is like Kevlar. Let's armor up. We're going to be tough. We're going to get through this. You know, it's just kind of like a psycho. Yeah. Totally ineffective, may I just say. And so this time I didn't go in with a psycho. I went in with, okay, who am I right now? What do I need? Why am I doing this? What are my boundaries? What is enough? When do I know I gotta get out? What are my gotta go? And telling myself I am not going to push myself past the breaking point, which is usually what I did. I'm like, I can do this, I got this, I'm doing it. There's still more work to be done. I'm here for the whole thing. It's like, you know, yesterday 1 o'clock rolled around and I'm like, you know something? You know, hasta la vista, team. I'm done. You know, I was going to stay till 6:30, but I'm done. Game over. And I left. It, with no hard feelings. She actually had gone off to have lunch with some old friends. And but I realized my work was done. I had nothing more to offer. I was tapped out and I came home. So yes, so much more conscious, so much more like, okay, what is it that I want out of this? Why am I doing this? What do I need? And how do I know when it's over? Because, and not to get too like, you know, not that I'm my own therapist, but I think as a child, I forced myself to ignore the danger signs and just kept going and got myself into lifelong, got myself into places that were ultimately very scary and at times very, very damaging, very damaging.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, sexual assault, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And this time I said to myself, we're not doing that. We're going to hear the danger sign and we're going to step back. We're not going to rush forward. I did it.
Did it. You sure did. Like, this is a masterclass, I think, and really how to take care of yourself. And mm-hmm. You know, I love that you use the word, you know, like the vortex of your mom. Like, I think we all have people in our lives that can kind of drag us in, and they have such big energy or energy that feels crunchy to us. And we kind of have, usually we've sort of developed one way of dealing with that kind of experience. When you come back to your healthy adult self, you just get so much more creative, right? About, okay, what do I need? How am I feeling? What's okay for me and what's not? And I just so congratulate you. Exactly what Livette's saying. You're a total badass at this, Mary. But also I see a total soft ass. Like, I love the softening into you and taking care of that little you who just powered through and tried very hard doing all that tap dancing. And now you've got this much bigger, wider resource toolkit that you can use to take care of you. And if you can do that around your mum, who I know has, you know, bloody hell, she's been the source of so much learning, right? That
yes.
To be able to do that with her. And can I just acknowledge the way you speak so compassionately about her experience, even though I know that might not be the number one emotion you feel when you think about your mum, but to be able to recognize this is a big ass change for her. And she's got some ways of managing that, right? And she probably wants someone to take that out on. And to just be able to see that, let her have her grief and take care of you, it just feels like, I want to, like, it feels like you've kind of up-leveled to a to some other sort of platform. We need to, like, send you a crystal or something, you know, that like they do in games. It's like you've unlocked another level. Yeah.
And it, you know, it does, because so much of my life, I cognitively have had compassion for her. I would never have wanted to walk in her shoes. That's not something that I would choose for anyone I love. I've walked the path that she's walked. And, you know, historically, that she was one of the early feminists. And got divorced when that was not cool in her circle. So, like, I don't want to have walked her walk. I am grateful that she walked her walk, but I wouldn't have wanted to walk that. But that was all cognitive. That was me standing over here saying, wow, she had a tough path. That son of a fucking bitch. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's like, you know, geez. You know, you do you, but I've got me. I'm not looking for you now to fix or fill or give. I can just let you be you and I can be me. And that is so different.
Yeah. It really is. Really is. Yeah. Please know, Mary, I'm just so love what Christine's saying in the chat. Please know how much of an inspiration you are to so many people who watch these calls. And who see, you know, us, our regular crowd, and know you, and you're so generous in sharing your experience and how you're navigating this stuff. And I know it's been, as of course it would be, a topsy-turvy old experience, right?
Yeah.
And what I see is that, you know, the Mary I've always seen is right here, which is wonderful to be around. Yeah. So please know how much of an inspiration you are to everybody. Yeah.
This, honestly, to me, I was unsure if group work was going to work for me. And it's like regular individual work, but on steroids for me. It's just been huge. Everyone here and the love and support and hearing other people's experiences, it has definitely been a huge piece of this experience for me. I'm so lucky for all of you. Thank you.
Yeah. Us too, Mary. Us too. It's funny, isn't it? Like group stuff. I'm the same. I'm like, I'm not a joiner. But what I found is that when you kind of let yourself in, right? Because I think a lot of us have some sticky old beliefs about belonging, where we belong and if we'll be liked, and what if we say something wrong, or, you know, what if we're too much? What if we overshare? Or, you know, is it safer just to kind of lurk in the background for everyone who's watching the replays but could be here? I see you. and that makes so much sense to me. I totally do that too, often. And what I have also found is that when you allow yourself to belong, when you show up as if you already do, and you check it out and see what feels good, and you share as you go, something connects you to that place. And it's like the belonging, you are needed for everyone else to feel like they belong. You become part of the fabric of that group. And, you know, so many of us have had experiences, particularly in groups of women, where there is all the overtures that it's safe and everyone belongs, until something happens, until there's a conflict or a change, or someone says something and you start to think, oh, do I belong here? Is this okay? And our self-doubt will say, our protector will say, maybe it's not safe, maybe step back, right? And sometimes that's true, right? Because few people know how to navigate conflict, right? Few people. And very few of us have, you know, known and developed skills to be able to do that in groups. So the risk is both real, and it's part of our inbuilt defense mechanism. And navigating that, you know, it takes some self-trust, takes some paying attention to it. Well, what am I feeling? Everyone's saying this is safe, but does it feel safe? And is that me kind of making it unsafe, so I've got to get out of jail free card? Or is it genuinely feeling like, objectively, I don't like what happened there, right? That did not feel great to me. So yeah, so I think it's such a, when you can find a place where you feel like you can just show up as yourself. And, you know, I feel like that's my work, is to try and create the space where that feels true for as many people as possible. Then it can be really magical. And like you say, Mary, it can be like personal work, but on a bit of steroids. Yeah, on the good stuff. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love that you had that experience with your mom, and how that experience is going to interrupt those stories and patterns about that relationship. I think that's the cool thing. When you can, you know, sit on the edge of your bravery and try something new, you interrupt that pattern that says, you know, I don't finish things. I can't have a relationship with that person. I can never take care of myself, you know, when I'm around an energy vampire. You know, with all those stories start to lose a little bit of their pull when you have new evidence that says, but on that occasion, what did I do there, right? And as Mary has demonstrated, I set some intentions. I paid real attention to what I needed, what I was feeling, and I took care of myself. And it shifts that pattern, that story, in such an effective way, because you've got evidence that you've lived through, that it's something new is available to you. Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you, Mary. Christine, Livette, Christine, it's so nice to see you. Livette, have either of you got stuff you wanna share or bring up or chew the fat with us over? Love to hear. Livette, I would love to know how you went on with your professor person that we were talking about, just to kind of keep it real for folks. The updates are always.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I, you know what, I'm learning about myself, and I want to speak to folks that might be lurking, and there's nothing wrong with lurking if that's the season you're in, you know, but so I'm somebody that comes from a trauma background, and I've done different programs and such for such a long time. And SAS's stuff is so amazing and solid, and it's sort of like a combination of the best of the best. You're really a not an evil genius, but a genius for good. What's that? I don't know. Anyway,
I like evil genius. Genius. So kind.
Benevolent genius.
You're benevolent. That's the word. Benevolent genius. Okay. You're like, evil. And I just want to speak to anybody out there that's like, oh, this doesn't work for me that way though. Oh, this isn't, I'm not feeling what they're feeling. That's, you're not inherently bad. It's not, oh, these good things just don't work for you, because I'm that person too. And for me, I've come to realize, oh, there is actually a big amount of trauma in my background. So coupling this kind of program with therapy or just other things, that like one of the emotions I had to release this week was anguish. Mm. And my therapist was even a little uncertain how to do that. Ended up doing some breath work and screaming while a woman was hitting a gong in an interesting workshop. And that was amazing. But I just want to, you know, just talk to anybody out there who's like, well, I just can't get traction in this. I'm uniquely flawed or uniquely bad. You aren't. And sometimes it just takes... Keep on this journey and let it wash over you enough that you can loosen the big rocks, the big stuck bits. Or that's my journey. And I'm just assuming that I'm not unique in the human race. So there's other people doing that too. Yeah. And then this professor, just kind of processing it, but that intensity of reaction is more about similar people being in my life. And so one of the ways that I was dealing with the professor is my classmate friend, who we support each other during the Zoom class by texting on our phone numbers. So we're saying things, and he got really frustrated with something that happened during class. So after the break, before I got back on camera, I said, just to entertain you, so-and-so, I'll be eating cheese balls out of a gargantuan bucket for the remainder of class. Just because, what is anyone going to do about that? You're allowed to eat during class. So then I see him reading this and he chuckles. And then just as his eyes are kind of going up, I pull the bucket on the camera and just start shoveling like this during this very formal behave. She's volatile. I'm just like, she's so, I rebelled by cheese ball. Cheese ballery? Maybe that's the term. Yeah. So I dealt with humor.
My God, that is such a great resource to have, right? Like, because how freeing was that?
It was absolutely delightful. And maybe nobody even noticed that it was a thing. But when I saw my very formal, very intelligent, well-spoken, you know, grad student in his 40s friend just look up and like, yeah. Lost it. We took back like the humanity,
yeah,
in the class. Like, we don't live in an authoritarian regime. Yeah. We can do what we want. Yeah. And I even sometimes, I don't know if anyone else texts things to themselves, bits of wisdom, but I texted to myself, I don't have to be the good student. Like, I'm not going to disrupt anything, and I'm not going to not turn in stuff, but I don't have to be prim and proper. I don't have to be the uber professional. because you can be professional and knowledgeable and playful.
Yeah.
Like I don't have to match this vibe at all.
I love this so much because you've done a really sophisticated thing here, right? You've let the professor have their experience while you sit in your humanity. Like, I wonder if that feels kind of new, maybe, but I wonder if in the past you would have responded differently when you've come across folks like that. Sounds like that's a familiar kind of caricature.
Yes, because it's like with the person in authority. So part of my pattern has been, hey, person in authority that's treating me bad, let me overperform for you so you treat me good. And then I'm like, oh, I don't know. You're on your own thing. I don't want to play that game at all. Like I want to, people honor me from the get-go and I honor them, cool. Or the thing you got going on is just, there's no winning that game. And I'm not playing it.
Amazing. Bloody genius.
Cheese balls. Just get a bucket. You need something to go different. No, not that you should eat a bucket of cheese balls, but wonderful prop.
I adore it. The whole thing. And I think that's the thing that can happen, right? When our protector's in charge is we want to meet the energy of the person, either with their energy or kind of be better than them to somehow outperform them in some way, right? That's a really common thing. We either go from one extreme to another. What you've done is just so cool because it's like ignoring the whole thing, coming back to what's funny to me. This is an amazing example of why satire has been the thing that has upset more, you know, tyrannical leaders than anything else. You know, yes, we can go high and all of that jazz. Let's show them for, you know, how many pairs of pants they're not wearing. Amazing.
Yeah. And then internally for me, it feels like a pivot into a third way, sort of.
Totally.
Like in my mind, I'm like, oh, how do I deal with this situation? I can do this and this. And it's almost like doing the rules of brainstorming or something. Like you scrap that whole thing and you're like, well, what shouldn't I do here? You know, maybe that's what you should do.
So creative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, so good. That's like the perfect follow-up to what we talked about last time. I love it so much. Yeah. And it strikes me as well that it brings some joy and levity for you. Like what a great experience to have. Yeah.
Yeah. It's deeply soul funny to me because it's, it's freeing. It's rebellious, but not in a harmful way. It still sort of honors the teacher and whatever she's got going, but not honoring her dysfunctional or maladaptive behaviors.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Love it. Christine, do you want to say something?
Well, this reminds me so much of something. I mean, I was quite lucky having a conversation with friends in college. So now this is, you know, a little bit longer ago than I care to admit. But one of the things that, like, one of the sort of like truths that we came to is I do not have to normalize other people's dysfunction. And I feel like for me at that time in my life, especially, and still, but I mean, still every day, like that's such a powerful thing to remember. Like it is not up to you to normalize other people's dysfunction. And I think too, like I was thinking about when you're saying, you know, this response and whether it's a different type of response you might've had and whether it is or not, like just like being able to acknowledge that this is what you're doing, that you're doing this intentionally is really powerful. And I, you know, that's just so, that's so wonderful of it. And I think that's using like your strengths as well, like really using your abilities. Like you have this skill, to sort of disrupt, but not in a way that's like super disruptive, in a way that just makes you think a little bit differently. And that's so powerful.
Yeah, it's a there is a mischief to Livia actually that I think is, it feels like something's coming out in that area, which is so fun. Yeah. How great for your future clients, Livia. I love it so much. Yeah. Amazing. Christine, is there anything we can help you with today?
So, I mean, you know, there's always something there, but I've been traveling quite a bit these past few months, and I think it's been about, like, you know, time flies. And I was just thinking oh, okay, there's a call on Wednesday. I'm a bit like, I'm free. I'm around, like, I'm going to go to it and see what's going on. And then I was like, oh, when was the last time I did a call? And I was like, oh, that was about 3 months ago. So, or at least like 2.5 months ago. So it just seems like a long time has passed, and I haven't really been doing any of the work because I've been traveling quite a bit, like doing fun stuff, but also just being really busy. I mean, in terms of, I think I just need to sort of try to get back into it a little bit. You know, I think last time, and I don't know if that was the last time I actually saw anything, but the last time I spoke, I was talking about an interaction I'd had with my line manager and talking about this career break that's coming to an end. And it's like, I need to make a decision basically in the next few weeks about whether I'll be going back to my, well, not to my job, because it seems like that's not being offered, but back to my organization. And there's a lot of like different decisions around that as well. So yeah, I think I just need to sit down and do some work. But yeah, but I feel like my mind is too disorganized right now to really talk about it. So it's probably not the best, like, sort of, yeah, Pandora's box to open right now.
No, I completely understand. I'm curious to know if you feel like it sounds like you've been traveling and having some adventures and things like that. Do you feel like you've really created what you wanted from this break?
No, I feel like a total failure.
Really?
I feel like I've had this time, this dedicated time, which is, I mean, it's not true. And like, as soon as I say that, I'm like, come on, like, there are definitely things I've gotten out of it that were really great. And I really need to focus more on those. But I'm just sort of like, I've had this time, and what have I done with it? Like, I was supposed to be figuring out what to do with my life, and I haven't done that at all. So I'm definitely in a place where I'm like, ooh, I did not use that time wisely.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But you've been traveling, right? And
yeah.
And has that been, like, has there been some fun involved?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And like one of the major things that I've done during this break that I had not been doing for years before was like really take care of myself, like take care of my body physically,
yeah.
Getting enough sleep. That's been like, actually, that's a huge thing. That's a huge thing. And, you know, getting enough sort of like physical stuff in, movement in and things, and like focusing on just trying, yeah, like making my body move in ways that I'm happy with, like that kind of thing. So, I mean, those two things, actually, I really need to think about how important they've been to me, because they really have. But yeah, but I think I've just like forever, like, I've never really known what I wanted to do with my life.
Yeah.
You know, that's always been one of those things. I've always been so jealous of people who know right away or figure it out. Cause I'm just like, how do you do that? So that's still, I think I was hoping to sort of get to a better place with that. And I feel like I haven't quite done that yet. And I'm definitely still, like, one of the reasons I'm thinking about going back to my job is that it's really stable. And I grew up, and I've said this before, like, I grew up in poverty, like, there was no stability in my life. So that's kind of really important to me. But then, like, life is also, like, living a life that I really enjoy is also really important to me. And I would say with this job, like, finding ways to do that is a little bit like, it's not work that I feel like I was meant to do or like made to do. I think I make the best of it. I think I'm good at it. You know, I think the stuff I do is valuable in some ways, but yeah. So anyway, so I'm still, I need to, and I always say this, like, I need to work on that.
Well, so a couple of things I just want to like reflect back, which may be helpful, right?
Yeah.
One is that your first inclination was, oh no, I have not used this time wisely and I've got to go back. And now I haven't decided what I want to do with my life. And then you said, oh, but I've been sleeping and prioritizing my sleep and taking care of my body and looking after myself. That's the foundation of everything. So it feels to me like if that's the first step on the journey to where you're going, it is the perfect one, right? So it's kind of like, I don't know, one of my favorite kind of things to remind myself of is something that John Steinbeck actually wrote to his 16-year-old son who was at summer camp in the 1920s or something, and he'd fallen in love. And he was like, oh my God, Dad, you can't even know what it's like, but in 1920s speak. And John Steinbeck said to him, you know, don't be in a rush. Like, it's okay. Nothing good is wasted. And I just thought, oh, I love that idea. Like, nothing good gets wasted. Like, it won't pass you by. And there is something about our kind of, I don't know, I love to think about it as like, destiny and that sort of sense of purpose that we might have. It's like we can never quite know when it's going to tap us on the shoulder. So, but if it does and you're well rested and enjoying your life, it's like the cherry on top to everything else, you know? And it sounds like you have found an amazing place, right? An amazing organization that is stable and gives you some stability and some comfort and safety. It's the perfect place to use as a platform, you know. It may be that that job becomes a fundraiser for new training or new adventures, something else. But it sounds to me like, yeah, this isn't going to happen quickly. So, you know, nothing good gets wasted. Yeah.
That is helpful.
Yeah. I'm so excited to see where you end up, Christine. Yeah. We're never done, right? Like, we keep going. Yeah. I've been doing this work for 12, 13 years, and I'm starting to see, oh, there's some new directions I want to kind of, some new breadcrumb trails I'm following, and I don't know where that's going to lead me, but it's like it'll all kind of get mushed up in the end. It'll all be good. Yeah, love it so much. Excited to see where this breadcrumb trail takes you. Really cool. Well, loves, so good to spend time with you. Thank you so much for sharing your bits and bobs from your lives. What a joy to hang out. We'll be back next week, and then we're going to take a tiny break for a couple of weeks in summer, August, and I've got some bonus classes that we're going to run around body image and self-belief, and also a special class on the Belief Buster, so I'll be sending out some info about that this week. Yeah, so I'll see you, if you can make it, I'll see you this time next week. Otherwise, we'll see you on the flip side. All right, loves, really nice to see you, Christine, as well. Thanks for making it. Okay, see you regulars next time. Bye. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
Take care. See you, Mary.
Bye.
Bye.